Blog Talk Radio.
All right, folks, this is Rabble Rouse and Explosion.
Are you at home and not in the riot? So am I. Hello?
Yeah, you know what? Sir? My company wants to move to Center City more than the riots today. Beautiful.
What? Say it again?
Philadelphia is having protests today in the city, which is where my company wants to move.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I'm watching it on CNN right now. Like, yeah, that's why Tony wants to call in. He's a revolutionary. He's out in the streets. I just had to reset my computer. I don't know, Skype is acting funny. So, anyway, this is Rabble Rouse and Rich Bergeron, folks. And we got a huge show tonight. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about. I don't think we're going to get to much of the other fights. Maybe the UFC fight's coming up and the Mayweather Pacquiao card, but it's going to be tough to squeeze other stuff in because we've got so much news going on. We had a guy, an MMA guy, die after a fight, collapsed and died. Mixed martial artist die in a motorcycle accident over in the UK. We had all kinds of crazy news with John Jones. Johnny breaking pregnant ladies, Bones Jones. I hate to laugh about it. It's a serious issue, but, you know, man, he's going to be the butt of a lot more jokes than that. And could be going to prison 6 months. Probably could be one of the minimums he might face. Who knows? I know the maximum is over a year, I think. So he ran away from the scene, too, so... Runaway champ. It's unbelievable news, but, you know, plenty to talk about. I wrote an article about this whole thing right after the coke test, how it didn't seem like they really cared about their fighters enough. The rehab center was testing them every week after that situation, and the UFC don't want to test them? Come on now. So I think they should have caught this a lot sooner. But, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Tony's prediction. Big surprise to me, of course. I could not believe it, Tony, that you went with Pacquiao.
What can you believe it?
I don't know, because so many people think it's going to be Mayweather. I would think you would Mayweather based on second Mayweather.
If you go back and you read what I said in there, I think Mayweather wins the fight and Pacquiao gets the decision. And I've said this before, and like I said, that's why I'm inviting people to call in tonight. So if you're listening to us right now, you know, dial into the show. That's what we're here for. I want to get people's opinions. I want people to debate me tonight. I want you and Tom to debate me. I want to argue on this. And then next week somebody will be doing 50 knuckle push-ups, you know, and I'm cool with that. dial into our show. 347-324-3228. You get into a queue, and then we'll bring you on. What I think is going to happen is quantity versus quality. Pacquiao's going to throw more punches against Mayweather than anybody ever has. And he's going to try to win a lot of rounds just by sheer volume. Mayweather is going to be the better fighter. He's going to be landing 2 and 3 punches as opposed to... He's going to score 2 and 3 punches as opposed to Pacquiao 67. What Mayweather's going to land, his punches are going to be sharper. And I have a feeling it's going to be like, after it's over, and you're going to say, Tony, who won that fight? And I think it's going to be a flash mob down in there. Maybe the feet will get tangled up. Pacquiao will go down. He'll protest. He'll call it a knockdown. He'll say, Tony, who won that fight? And I said, well, 7-5, Mayweather. 116-112. And it's going to be the opposite. It's going to be 2 judges giving it to Pacquiao by a very close decision, and 1 judge giving it to Mayweather. What that sets up is a potential rematch and then a potential trilogy.
I'm glad you said that, Tony. Because that's my theory. It's going to be a draw. And if I really wanted to be a punk, I could say that, hey, I thought it was going to be a draw, and a lot of people showed up, so I was in the bed anyway. No, but I really think it's going to be a judge's draw, majority decision draw, because... They want to do it again. They cannot afford to give Florida a loss. He would not ever agree to that. I'm not saying it's totally fixed, but who knows? Maybe these guys are going into this realizing or knowing and being hinted at, knowing that this could be just a glorified sparring match and the whole thing is just a fucking setup for round two. That's my tinfoil hat theory of the day, but I really believe that that is possible after seeing what happened with Timothy Bradley versus Manny Pacquiao. When a promoter like Bob Arum knows Manny already and has been with Manny this long, has renegotiated his contract with him, stayed with him, he started off with Floyd, and even though Floyd doesn't trust him, Floyd wants to make just as much money as Pacquiao, and if not more, obviously he wants to make more. So why not both of them agree to do it again? And he knows he's not going to lose this time, and he knows the second time's going to be for real, and he can make those adjustments. What about that? Isn't that a crazy conspiracy theory?
I think anything with a fight potentially theory. I mean, you have so many different ways it can go, and the one thing that just keeps coming back into my mind, when I was writing this, remember, Rich, we discussed this for the last 2 weeks, and I know Tom was on there saying, you know, we're waiting for the pick, we're waiting for the pick, and for a while, I was going over every scenario, and that's why if you look at my article, I went more in-depth on this one than I've ever done with any other article. I mean, I'm breaking down common opponents, I'm breaking down how many times the judges have worked their fight. However, how often have I ever done that? Never. How often have the referees and the nails have worked their fight? And there's one common theme that kept coming back to me, almost like Tom's crystal ball, is money. I'm not talking about Floyd Mayweather. I'm talking about money, as in how can we make more money? And I see, you know, especially because the fight's close, you know, it's close, and Mayweather gets the decision, he can just, you know, clap his hands together and say, you know what, I beat the guy you wanted me to. Yeah, but we thought it was close. I beat the guy you wanted me to. I don't think he won the fight. I beat the guy you wanted to be when you see the judges said I beat him. You can walk away, and you can go, and you know, and Tom made a great point. You know, I said, maybe he might fall out of the lock and take the fight. Yeah, he's going to go for a middleweight title, and he's going to go after Cotto, because he's already beat Cotto, and he'll likely beat him again. So, he can go after a middleweight title and try to grab, you know, an unprecedented however many title that'll be, or, you know, another multi-million dollar payday. Pacquiao gets the decision. Floyd does that bullshit he ran to raise to call for a rematch. Rematch leads to the trilogy. That leads to triple the money.
As opposed to one-time
money.
Fuck. I thought I was bad. A triple? No, because Floyd says 49 is his last fight. That's it. He's done.
You know what?
Don't do it anymore.
You know what? Don't bank on that. I don't believe that. I do not believe that. Not at all. Especially if there's that one on there. Now, I think he's 47-1, right? You may fight again, and he beats Pacquiao.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Now, because remember, and I wrote this in my article. Floyd loses this fight. He can't say I'm the best ever. He can't even say I'm the best of my own generation. Right? So now what happens? He's going to be determined, okay, I get the rematch to Pacquiao, I beat him, and now I want to prove that I'm the best in my generation. I want to prove that I'm the best ever, and I got to beat the guy that's got the one over me. I already beat him once. I got to beat him again so I can say that I got 2 out of 3 and I was the better man.
Hold on. I think I'm getting a reading coming in from Ohio somewhere. So Tom, is that Tom on the line?
Yes, sir. Boy, we got the tinfoil hats on tonight here, huh? You know, and hey, being Las Vegas, first off, let's all admit anything's possible. We've seen stranger things, but just listening to you guys, it kind of reminds me that assuming that's true, and it very well could be that Floyd will win the fight, but Manny will get the decision to set up a rematch. But if that scenario was happening back in 86 with Hagler and Sugar Ray Leonard, which some people swear by the same thing, it was Hagler's DNA that, hey, I've been robbed for the last time. I'm done. And the question would be, if Floyd's not in on it, assuming that there is a fix, would he even want to go for a rematch? I'm just considering his mindset, you know, with the ego he has. And, and if it's a glorified sparring session, I don't know. I mean, there's just so many fascinating, so many angles here and so many holes, no matter what argument you make. Any of us could take any of these arguments and put pick giant, just pick it apart.
Let me say this. If there is a fix, I don't think it's like a willing fix between the fighters. I don't think the fighters have anything to do with it. I think if there's anything on the inside or anything that's not on the up and up, it's going to be with the officials. And that's why I also broke that down in my article, saying, the officials are going to make a difference. I don't think Jimmy Bayless is going to be a problem. I think, it could be the judges.
We're going to know when Manny Pacquiao shows up to the ring and with a ticket for the rematch blown up.
Yeah, right.
And it's odd I mentioned stuff like that because was that the other big issue of the week? We'll get back to Manny and Floyd a little bit later, so we'll get into that. But John Jones smashing into a pregnant lady's car. And he hit another car, too, allegedly. The legal state. But he just hopped the fence. He actually came back to the car to get his money and ran away, hopped the fence, and did not turn himself in until there was a warrant issued for him. So interestingly enough, I think it was pretty weak of the UFC to come out with their first statement saying they're basically not going to say anything. And then to see the first statement from Rumble Johnson that came out about it, he was adamant. Don't use my webpage to hate on this guy on Facebook, he said. And I'm concerned about this guy's family and him, and his well-being. So, I don't want to get involved in this stuff and he's going to be champion and all that crap right now. I'm thinking about him and what's going on. And these guys were cool enough with each other to put a prank on Dana White at one of their stare downs. I mean, that's something like the first time in John Jones's career, I think he's actually was supposed to face somebody he's kind of friends with. So it's a different dynamic for him. I think there was a lot of pressure for this fight. He could come up with a lot of excuses why he slipped, but, there was absolutely no reason for somebody of his caliber to have made this many mistakes. In any other sport, league, this kid would not be in a position to make those mistakes because they would have punished him significantly after he wrapped his Bentley around a telephone pole. I mean, that is serious enough right there for a suspension, and they never suspended him for that. He had to blow into a breathalyzer to start his car after that, but the UFC did not suspend him. And then Rumble Johnson, the guy that he's supposed to fight, gets suspended indefinitely for being suspected of domestic abuse after all the shit that came out with the NFL. Just suspected, never convicted. And here it is, John Jones. Looks like he is on the way to being convicted, a convicted felon. So they stripped him of the light heavyweight title. They said they're going to suspend him indefinitely, finally. And eerily enough, I don't know if you caught any of the Fox Sports 1 programming on the UFC this week, Tom, but Ariel Helwani went back to the vault and got a clip of his interview with Dana White right after John Jones got the heavyweight title, or light heavyweight title. And sure enough, there's Dana White saying on camera, this is where John Jones is going to be tested. And all these people sucking onto him, his entourage, basically, this is where they take you down, So basically, Dana White's admitting this is what happens to fighters. I know it. And it's going to happen, and there's nothing I can do about it. I'm just going to let it happen, and he's going to have to deal with it. It's his deal. And a lot of people are making it look like, Dana White's this great Nostradamus. No, Dana White's just an asshole. He knows the rules, and he doesn't give a shit. as long as this guy can fight, you know. He just hopes that guy can take care of himself, and he doesn't have to step in. Now that he has to step in, he looks like an idiot because he could have prevented it. That's the worst part about this whole situation, because people can die. I mean, this lady broke her arm. She had she was pregnant, had a child. People die, John Jones, okay? People die when you get behind the wheel, not in your right mind. And he had to have been drunk. I don't care what he says in court and what he tries to defend himself with. He ran away because he was drunk or under the influence of something that he could get tested for, and he had to get it out of his system. That's why he didn't turn himself in right away.
And Rich, also, it's so soon after his first offense. I mean, if there was like a 20-year gap or something, you could say, well, what the heck happened to the guy? But this is not that long ago at all when he had his first problem.
Right. And it's just so odd to me, the timing of this, because Rampage Jackson fights in the card the other night, and this happened. Rampage Jackson, the same guy who drove a Toyo tire truck all over the freaking neighborhood in L.A. or somewhere, was it in Vegas? I don't remember. But somewhere, smashed into a pregnant lady. Pregnant lady lost a child. We don't know whether it was because of that, but she lost a child. So there was a lawsuit that was settled. That same situation that he claimed it was energy drinks. I don't know if there was any other, you know, testing done to see if he was on drugs or anything else like that, but same situation, same weekend that he's fighting. Happens to John Jones. That's a fucking pattern. I've never heard of one. Too identical to be. I mean, if that was in a novel, you wouldn't believe it. No. Truth is stranger than fiction. But I think it really is an expose to me, and I have to write an article about it, because I wrote an article after the first interviews that John Jones did in the wake of the clip tests. And I'm going to point out a couple of things right now that were red flags to me that this guy is not taking this seriously. Number one, he said, I've had fun with certain types of drugs when I was in college, and I'm going to live life again. You know, code words for I will do it again. And at the same time, he's sitting there three other sentences later saying that it's a problem and he's confronting it and he's going to do something about it and he's embarrassed his family and he's sorry. But then, you know, he's using code words to say he's going to do it again and he's not going to say that he's not. And the UFC just lets that go, lets him do his own thing, doesn't think he has a problem, lets him go in the door of rehab and right out the back, one night in. They don't give a shit about their fighters. And this is what makes these antitrust lawsuits so interesting now to me, because they could use this if they really wanted to. Not that they're going to get John Jones to join their suit, but they could use this situation as this is what happens. This is what happens to their fighters, because they do not care. They could have put in a random drug testing policy a long time ago, and they could have banned it for illegal drugs. I don't know if you remember this, Tom, but there was a fight when they let Chris Leben fight with a Suboxone exemption. Remember that?
Right.
Suboxone for OxyContin use.
Yeah.
So there's an information there that the Athletic Commission and the organization you work for knows you have an addiction problem with drugs. And they helped him. They let him use Suboxone for his fight and made an exemption just for him so he could fight and make money. But they won't make sure that John Jones is getting testing when he has a cocaine problem, and obviously, you know, other drugs and alcohol now is probably back in the equation. It's just ridiculous. And he is lucky, believe it or not, I think, that woman just broke her arm. And I hope he realizes that, you know, you just don't get three chances. You're lucky to get two here. You fucked up twice. And, you know, three times if you consider the coke test a real fuck-up, but the real two times for me were the drunk driving incidents, because...
He's very lucky. Most only get one chance. He's very lucky.
You know, hit and run is a great strategy for the cage, but it's not for the road. It's ridiculous that he would get behind that much of a machine, you know, all that steel, drink, do drugs, or whatever the hell he was doing, and smash into a pregnant lady and run away. And run away, that's the worst part. You know, that's what really disturbs me about this, is that not only are you stupid enough to crash your vehicle with pot in the car into two other cars, it's a rental vehicle, you run from the scene, you not only run from the scene, but you go back and you get your money, and then you run. So, you know, it's like causing the impression that, hey, well, I'm going to camp out somewhere for a while, so I'm going to need my money. I've got to get that before I bomb out of here. And it's always getting out of this. I mean, it's identified at the scene by one of the cops, so. I feel like I don't even have to say allegedly with any of this stuff, because the only thing we don't know about is the alcohol. You know, he had the marijuana pipe in the car, so I don't know how long that stays in your system if they have the right to test you. But they could probably test him for that, because they have probable suspicion, whatever it is. Probable cause, reasonable suspicion. So, we need a shitload of trouble. And, I mean, I was glad to actually see the UFC step up, but at the same time, I wanted to just bitch slap the person who decided not to punish him the last two times. Seriously, because all they did the last time was they busted him for the code of conduct and $25,000 fine. Lost his Reebok thing, but that was before that anyway. You know, lost his Nike deal. Big deal. But it's just a travesty to have a guy at that level claiming to be a champion, you know, role model to all these people, trying to be the figurehead tough guy for the organization, going out there and doing something like this, putting people's lives at risk. Just is unacceptable to me. And, you know, I hope they really won't ever invite him back until they know he is completely reformed. And I really hope he does jail time. I would hate to say that for anybody. Any human being on this planet that they would need jail time to straighten out. But I think he is in that situation now, that he needs that.
Hey, because, look, you have to let the punishment fit the crime.
Exactly. And this is a felony. All it takes is serious injury, serious bodily injury. Well, come on, that's pretty serious. So, you know, I don't think there's any way he makes a quick plea deal out of this and still fights next year.
And I thought that he had kids, which this would be bad regardless. But for someone with a family, this to me it's even worse in some ways. I mean, well, what is your excuse? What the hell are you doing out? The bar's closing and you're out running around loaded on coke, drunk, or I don't get it. I mean, if it's a single guy, that's one thing. That's bad. It can't be condoned. But single men do stupid things. How do I know? I used to be a stupid man. You know, I mean, I was young at one time, and I understand that.
But you're not the life of the champion of the world when you did those things. You know, that's the important part of it.
Right. Very, very good point.
Yeah, you know, for saying, hey, I did this stuff in college, you know. Well, hey,
yeah.
Don't go back to it. That's the point. You get it out of your system in college. But even then, kind of a bad deal to be getting involved in it in the first place, because it just leads to bad things. But, you know, you have to get control of it at some point in your life. And then when you go out there on the camera and say, oh, I don't even have time for a coke problem, you know, it's no big deal. No, you do. You do have the time, because, you know, you train all those hours, but, you know, you can do whatever the heck you want when you leave the gym. You got all the money in the world to do whatever the hell you want. So that's where it becomes a problem. And Dana White knew it. He said, hey, you know, this guy's entourage is going to rip him apart. It happens to everybody. It happened to Mike Tyson. You know, that guy that asked the question on the Floyd Mayweather call the other day about, you know, Floyd, you're going to lose all your money? Now, Floyd is a different bird, but it could happen to him, you know, at a different age. If it didn't happen to Mike Tyson, if there wasn't that lesson to learn from, it could have happened to him, too. But,
sure. You know, it just seems like 2,500 years ago, the Greeks had this stuff figured out with that phrase hubris, that your ego can become so gigantic that you start to think you're immune from everyday laws of conduct. And, I mean, we've seen it happen. We've seen it. How many times have we seen it happen on Wall Street? How many times have we seen it happen in politics? And, you know, you can put yourself in Jones's shoes, and it just seems like everything he's done is went his way.
Right.
And, you know, and apparently he didn't have someone to bring him back down to earth. And that's the worst part of it, because I think everyone can be vulnerable to that. Think about it. But if you have that figure that you can listen to and just keep you grounded, and obviously Jones is, I don't know if he's married, but I guess he has to have a girlfriend if he has kids. Obviously, she wasn't the voice. She couldn't do it. And obviously his parents didn't seem to be able to do it either. Not knocking them, but I mean, sometimes someone's just not going to listen.
For all the stuff we do know, there's five things we don't know about Don Jones. That's the problem with him. And, you know, that's what the worst thing is, the worst qualities you have, you keep them a secret. That's the deal. That's how people are. So I think, like Floyd Mayweather, again, he had 90 days in prison, but it changed his life. I guarantee you that it changed his life, because he had to be locked in a box, a millionaire. You know, I thought it was pretty rare that they even sentenced him. You know, I thought he was just going to be able to pay his way out completely. But, I mean, obviously you had a kind of a lot better time than any other inmate, I think, there. But he had to be locked in a box. So I think it changed his mind, changed his whole outlook on life. He actually did spend a lot of time with Al Haymon, who's one of his most frequent visitors, from what I read. So, you know, he was having a lot of time to think solely about boxing and different things and not have all those distractions that he usually had. So I think John Jones having 6 months behind bars, because he actually broke someone's arm here, and Floyd was bad enough what he did, but no bones were broken. That's the nicest thing you can say about Floyd. But seriously, John Jones, this is unacceptable, you know, because this is a 1,000-pound vehicle. You know, I know from personal experience, just 2 years ago, I lost my sister to drunk driving. So I know, you can kill yourself, you can kill other people. And it's disgusting to see somebody at that level with all the advantages he has, and especially because he has religion. You know, I grew up with Catholic school background, with those morals, with those values, and I don't necessarily worship and go to church every Sunday, but I have that background, and I believe in it. You know, I have those morals, and I would never get behind the wheel of a car drunk, because I would never want someone else's death on my hands or my death on my family's hands in that situation. I would never do it. And he should know better. He should really know better, especially after all the chances that he's had. And to squander those chances is even worse than to make the mistake in the first place. To have squandered those previous chances and then to do it again. It's just so horrible. For somebody who claims to be a religious man, and not only claims to be a religious man, he has a fucking him tattooed on his body that will be there when he dies, you know? That's just
well,
sad.
I can only say we don't know what's in someone's heart. No one does. I like to judge actions instead of words and slogans and stuff like that. And the whole thing could be a facade, for all we know. I'm not saying it is. But again, you look at the actions compared to the stated beliefs. I mean, I understand no one's perfect, but there are some limits.
Well, all I know is this guy has to wake up. You know, that's the message. Now get your shit together. Wake up, buddy. Look around you. Look what you have. Look what you are throwing away. You know, you're in a dream world thinking that you can get away with this shit. I mean, any average person can't get away with that shit. It's just, it doesn't matter how good a driver you think you are, you know. They got all these buzz driving commercials for a reason. Even when you've had a few beers, you can do something stupid. And, you know, cars go a lot faster than people. You can walk home drunk and bang your head on a wall, but you're not going to kill somebody usually. Because you have a real bad blackout. You know, a car, it's a lot different scenario. So, and I really hope that they take a big look at their drug policy and their alcohol policy and all that, and their code of conduct. And they need to learn a lesson from the NFL with the domestic stuff too, but they overreacted in that situation and made themselves look pretty bad with Rumble. But with this situation, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he was seen by a cop. He turned himself in. There was a warrant issued for his arrest. But the fact that he didn't turn himself in before the warrant worries me. Because that tells me he was on. And that's how I'm right about that situation where I said these fighters are going to know now that they can't be tested for this stuff out of competition. So they're going to do it. They're going to be encouraged to do it. And if that's what happens, I mean, they're going to cover it up too. And that's disturbing.
Now, how much time would he be looking at, worst case scenario for him?
I think probably 12 to 16 months. I'm going to guess in that. Oh, it's at least a year, because I did hear that in the news report when he first got arrested.
And which means that he'll be able to, well, depending on what jail he's in, he can probably do cardio. I don't know if he'll have weights, but sure he can try to stay in shape. But he may lose a bit of his edge. Because, I mean, these other guys are going to be training every day and all the latest stuff. So that's a whole other factor to consider, too.
He's going to be fighting with the gloves every day. No.
Well, the problem is, but remember the old cliche, and both you guys know this, that if you're working with people not as good as you, they will improve. You probably won't. I mean, maybe it helps to teach the basics a bit. But I know I've had it both ways, and when I'm sparring and rolling with guys better than me, that's when I get better. I mean, there are some painful lessons, but that's the best way to learn. And I don't see him making any progress at all if he's in prison. I mean, he'll be lucky just to stay in any kind of shape. And again, to use an old Rich Franklin phrase, being in good shape is one thing, but being in fight shape is something altogether different. So, I mean, if he does almost a year and a half, that's not going to be easy for him, even a year. Athletes' careers are short. I mean, now we can look at Tyson and we can say he was on the downside before he went to prison. But if you compare him before and after, look at the difference.
Yep. Definitely not a good time. I've never been to prison, but I can guess it's definitely not a good time.
Now, Ali had the forced inactivity. And if anything, he feels that it may have prolonged his career, but still, he was not the same phenom that he was before he was stripped of the title. Now, of course, you could say he was 3.5 years older, which played into it also, maybe, but still, inactivity is death to a fighter, death to any activity.
Right. And actually, one of our former guests, Ken Shamrock, wrote an open letter to John Jones about this whole thing. If I can get it to load up, I will read it at some point. But we've also got some other news. We had a fighter die in a mixed martial arts match or after a mixed martial arts match overseas. We had another guy, Rogan, not Joe Rogan, of course, but Martin Rogan, I think his name was, the mixed martial artist from the UK, got killed in a motorcycle accident over the weekend. And we've got a lot of other news got to get to. While I'm waiting for this stuff to load up there, Tom, tell me how Rampage, because I didn't get a chance to see it last week. I was listening to it against Maldonado. I thought he was going to demolish him. I was wrong. You were right. It was going to be a better fight than I thought it was going to be. But I didn't get to see it. I just heard it.
No, I didn't see the main draw either. So I'm just not sure how he looked. But understand there were quite a few boos.
Right. Well, I mean, I really didn't expect much, but I didn't know that Rampage wasn't even going to make weight. They made it a catchweight fight. So that tells you something about how seriously he took this. You know, he wasn't like, oh, I think I'm going to win this injunction thing, so I better stay in shape. He was just like, oh, I'm not fighting, so I'm not training.
Not a good plan. Not a good plan. You need to be ready to get that phone call at any time until you officially retire.
Anyway, I must preface this with, this is not my word, this is Tim Shamrock's open letter to John Jones, and here it goes. Our greatest fight, hi, John. few others can understand the enticement of the lust of life when the world says yes to your every desire. At these times, anything you want is at your fingertips. Free meals, expensive gifts, amazing opportunities, big sponsorships, money, girls, and just about every desire being met on demand. One day, everything changes. Speaking from experience, the decisions we make eventually catches up to us. These consequences from the seeds that we have sown are very real and seldom easy to deal with. Fame is often a road paved with heartbreak. It's a black hole that has the ability to engulf a distracted soul. Unfortunately, you must sleep in the bed that you made. You did this to yourself, and you have issues that need to be dealt with. It's important that you understand that all your troubles today are a byproduct of your actions. Once you truly understand this, then you can begin to heal what has been broken and move forward again. Once again, sorry. John, you are a true champion who has accomplished heights that few others will ever reach. Use your same internal strength and determination that helped you become a world champion to fight through this hard season and yourself. The next fight is with yourself. Ironically, a documentary film is to be released about me called The Greatest Fight. The Greatest Fight was ultimately with myself, as it will be with you. I live through the hardships that my actions caused me and hope others can learn from my past mistakes. The lust of the flesh, fame, money, sex, and drugs blinded me, and the bottom had to drop out before I could see clearly, rebuild, and rise up once again. John, do not give up on yourself. You have risen to amazing levels in your career, and your fans need to see you learn from your mistakes and rise above them. It's time to refocus where focus has been lost. It's very important that you get back to your strong faith in Christ and allow Him to be your strength and guiding light through this season and beyond. Let this be a beginning of a testimony to help others. Although your fate is in your hands and no one else's, I encourage you to draw close to those who are strongest in your circles and allow them to help you too. This is not the end, but your beginning. Fight the fight. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the woman in the accident for a speedy recovery. Ouch. That's all good. God bless. Ken Chandler.
No, I wonder what provoked him to give that, I assume, unsolicited advice. May have been good advice, but, you know, sometimes people are a little funny about unsolicited, unasked for advice.
Right. I think he means well, but he's also taking a shot at him, you know, because he's kind of like envious of where he is. So he never had the chance to be there for that long. So, you know, it's kind of like a slap in the face that he needs, but it's kind of like, you know, at the same time he's saying, I love you, and I care about you, I want you to change. So,
well, I mean, if they didn't have any kind of personal relationship before this happened, and if they were friends, that should be something private, I would think. Of course, I don't know, maybe I just, that's me. But I would just think that would be kind of like a personal, private situation.
Well, we know Ken Shamrock had family issues of his own, you know, with Frank and everything, and the father and all that situation. So, and we talked to him, you know, we know he's kind of a crazy guy. He got into a street fight right out on the way back from the water park one day. That's the other thing, too, we don't talk about. I mean, you talk about it sometimes. We don't talk about it enough, I think. Is a lot of these behaviors are caused by brain damage that is associated with fighting. Not to say that a drug habit is caused by that, but impulsive decision-making, stupid stuff, you know, some of it can be related to brain damage. Especially with some of these NFL players when they get in situations with guns and the domestic stuff, you know, with violent tendencies is part of that. You know, when your brain starts to go, you don't realize that that's not the right thing to do, to go attack somebody. So, who knows if that has anything to do with it, but, you know, he has had some rough fights, too, John Jones. So, that could be a contributing factor that they're not talking about and they don't want to talk about. You know, this whole thing of, you know, we got to put the show on that the UFC promotes day in and day out. You've got to put on a show. You can't take a break. They won't even let Ronda Rousey do this WrestleMania thing next year now, as I heard this week. You know, they totally want her to put on a show in their league. You know, they don't like her doing this outside stuff. They want her to fight as soon as possible, as much as possible. Now, granted, she doesn't get head damage or anything in her fight, but, you know, what about guys like Cain Velasquez and Junior Dos Santos getting their brains beat in all these fights? You don't think that's going to catch up to them eventually? And he could start doing shit like that? But the guy, like the NFL guy, that shot himself in the chest and donated his brain to science. You know, shit like that could come to MMA. If that's got anything to do with it, I don't know. But when it comes to drugs, it's always a personal choice. Do I do it or do I not? Very simple. Even PEDs. Same thing. Do I do it or don't I? Is it an advantage with illegal drugs? I don't think so. But some people could use it as an advantage. I told you, talked about it last time. The soccer player played his whole career on this shit. Who knows? You don't really know if that was a benefit or not. Anyway, Dana White has kind of been pretty glum about this whole thing. He says, got some quotes here. A lot of people know John's had a lot of chances. This one was his last chance. He's got to handle his business outside of the octagon, and then we'll see where he goes from there. Obviously, he's one of our biggest stars. He's on his way to one of the greatest ever, and he's got some legal problems he's got to deal with now. So we suspended him, stripped him of the title, and he's got some work to do outside of the sport. Then we'll decide when to come back. And then, of course, you know, the Nevada Athletic Commission is going to do something, I think. So, see what happens. And enough about the troublemakers. We're going to talk about some positive stuff here eventually, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, we got to talk a little bit about the fight last week. We dedicated a lot of time to breaking everything down and no controversy and no conspiracy theories over our final hour.
Right. Well, we got, tell us a little bit about last week's boxing matches, Tony. We had, obviously, we had the heavyweight championship, no drama there, right?
We did. And I didn't get to see the whole fight. But, you know, Brian Jennings made a good, telling of himself. You know, I got to cover one of Brian's fights last year. You know, when he first fought on the NBC Arms, Oxford, whatever the hell it was on, a couple years ago, you know, January. And, you know, made a good showing. And then, you know, when he fought Mike Perez, you know, that wasn't an exciting fight. But I think a lot of that had to do with Perez not wanting to engage at the same time. He had Perez coming up to play with Magomed, and you could see he was a little bit gun shy. And, you know, Jennings wasn't able to make it a good fight. But he got the win. And then, you know, it wasn't a 36 day. It wasn't a guy with less than 20 fights. It's like the guy that would have almost 20 title fights. You know, as crazy as that is. And let's go, and I was talking to one of my friends from work. And the other guy I was talking to from the gym was sitting there talking about it, where, you know, hey, what's it going to take to beat a guy like Klitschko? Klitschko knows how to use his size. 6'6", 250 pounds almost, long arms, you know, sledgehammer of a jab. And he likes to stay on the outside. He likes to play at a controlled pace. And then when you get in close, he just basically looks slippery. And he just uses that size and that strength. What you got to do to beat a guy like him is, one, you got to neutralize his jab. You've got to neutralize his jab, easier said than done. And I think the way to do that is to catch him down. Like, Kenny Norton beat Muhammad Ali. He stiffens jab and throw his own at him right in the mouth. Do that a couple times, the guy gets hesitant with his jab. Yeah, you're in close. But he doesn't like to be in close. You know, and he's going to try to hold, he's going to try to grapple. So when you do that, basically what you got to do is you got to get rough on the inside. Sam Peter did that in when they fought back in 05, and he scored a couple knockdowns. When Klitschko goes to basically lean on you like that, now, drive your shoulder into his chin. You know, don't let him basically get out.
Right.
And I think that could be a game plan to, force him out of his comfort zone. If you let him stay in his comfort zone, you don't beat him. You don't beat all the story. Now, I know some people will come out and think, Jennings landed more power punches throughout the fight. Power punch is anything not a jab. So if you look at the total punch numbers, so I don't go anything by punch numbers. You can land 50 power punches in a round and slide around the rest of the fight. It doesn't mean nothing. But
you're going to have to combine Rocky Marciano's DNA with Lennox Lewis, and then you're going to get some.
Yeah, exactly. so, with that, Klitschko landed more punches, and that jab, his jab is like a power punch. So, Jennings landed more power punches. Klitschko's jab is stronger than Jennings' right hand.
That's the guy that Ryan Kielczewski should be looking at, Klitschko. Even though he's lighter, that's the guy who owns with his jab.
Now, Tony, do you think Klitschko showed any signs of age?
Well, you know what? I only got to see Bitten Houston in the fight because I was up early on Saturday, and it's hard to say because Klitschko likes to play that real methodical pace. Like, perfect example, and obviously it's a different style of a fighter, but you look at a guy like a young Ali, when Ali started getting a little bit older. The young Ali dancing around the ring, and Ali shuffling, and snapping them jabs out. And then if he was getting older, you know, he was more leaning on the ropes and rope-a-dope and stuff like that. You said, Ali looks pretty old. And he said, oh my God, Ali looks so sluggish this month against Leon Spence. You could tell he's getting older in this fight. Klitschko is a guy that he just controls the pace. So it's hard to say. To really get a good, accurate assessment, is you need a guy to really put a lot of pressure on him and get him out of that comfort zone where he's got to fight at their pace, not as deep as them fighting at his pace.
Good point. So what else happened last week? We didn't even talk about the upcoming fights last week because we ran out of time for boxing. There's so much other shit to talk about. What happened?
There wasn't really a whole lot. I don't remember there being anything on ESPN.
No. Well,
I think it has some other
something
out there.
Let me get up my big notebook here. I'm sure we've got other stuff. Yeah. We're waiting for that little thing to load up here. My computer is being mighty slow tonight. What do we think about the Floyd fight again here? Let's get back into that. We're going to have tickets for the weigh-in tomorrow, I guess. That is the weigh-in, right, usually? So tickets are going to be for the weigh-in for the first time ever. Now, I'm actually working on something, guys. Maybe you can shoot some ideas for me here. We're kind of all agreed that there's a good chance there's going to be a rematch, right?
Well,
absolutely. Now, a rematch is going to happen in September, then. That'll be next fight. I guess it's in September. Guess what's in September in Vegas, guys? The box.
My birthday. Why
not? There you go. Well, the Box Stand Expo is in Vegas in September. The Box Stand Expo. Now, it's not the fans that you get in the summer and you put in the window. That's a different type of box fan. We're talking about boxing, the sport, boxing fan. I don't know. I think it's a stupid name for us. The 700, we should have called it Boxing Fan Expo, but it's the Box Fan Expo, and they did bring a shitload of fighters last year. Vinny Paz was there, Penny, among other guests. So I'm thinking all of us need to be there, because it's going to be the rematch. Even if we don't have tickets for the fight, you need to be at the Box Fan Expo, because it's going to be around the fight. Floyd's probably going to coordinate his fight sometime around there.
Okay, now, just as a question, though, assuming, because I don't know, I'm not so sure there'll be a rematch. Assuming that Floyd is really on his best game, and there's no doubt about the decision, and it was a typical Floyd Mayweather fight, just a snooze fest, and he ran away with the decision, would there be a lot of demand for a rematch? I mean, because right now, from what I understand, both guys are in shape. There's no excuses unless we find out afterwards if something's wrong with one of them and they're hiding it. You know, I mean, hopefully that won't be the situation. But I haven't heard any excuse from either camp. If Manny, I think there'd be a better chance of a rematch, maybe, if Manny would actually knock him out, some freak circumstance. But if Floyd dominates this, I just can't see the demand for the rematch. And Floyd would probably want to do something, fight someone else. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I got two words, Bob. Aaron.
Here's my take on this. Now, my dad and I, he and I have been going back and forth on this fight. He seems to think it's going to be dominant Mayweather victory. He's like, Mayweather's too fast. I'm like, Dad, he's fighting one of the fastest guys in the sport, Manny Pacquiao. And I was telling the guy tonight at the gym, it's a different kind of a speed. Mayweather and Pacquiao have a different kind of a speed. Mayweather has almost like that Darnell Whitaker type of defensive shiftiness, counter-punching, make the first move and then counter up your mistakes and then pick you apart that way. Pacquiao is more of a whirlwind type of speed, where he's just, fast hands and throwing punches at a record pace. Now, if you get a fight, now my dad seems to think that, Manny leaves himself too open and Mayweather's going to pick him apart. Would that conceivably happen? Absolutely. I came out and said, and I think I wrote this in the article, I hope I did, I said, if there's a stoppage in this fight, I think it's more on the lines of Mayweather stopping Pacquiao. Pacquiao getting reckless, coming in there, and Mayweather just, walking him right into right hand. And then finally, putting him down and beating him up a little bit and then stopping the fight, almost like kind of like when he did the Ricky Hatton back in with Pacquiao's his stoppage, I think, and I said it in there, if Mayweather gets cold overnight, if Mayweather is like, they got a fight, there's rough and tumble fight, his legs, he just can't get out of the way like he used to. Almost like Lee Jones got old real fast and couldn't get out of the way of Antonio Carver, another scaffold. It's like if Mayweather can't get out of the way of Pacquiao's left hand, when you find out, he never really had a good chin, he just was unhittable.
Right.
So, for the most part, before you come on the line with us tonight, the one thing I was saying was, for the last few weeks, especially as we were talking, and when you and I were always saying, you always say to me, don't be honest, come out, man, I'm waiting for it. And I was just putting everything in there, and just seeing what would come out. What kept coming out in my mind was quantity versus quality. Kept seeing that scenario. Pacquiao's going to throw more punches against Mayweather than anybody ever has. He's not going to be like rough and, elbows.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Did you
say hello?
I said hello. Mom, can you hear me? Hello. I think we had another caller, I'd say. It wasn't even Tom. Anyway, we are connected, Tony. So as you...
As I was saying, I don't know what the last thing is here before they got disconnected. Do you know when we got disconnected?
I do not. that it was back within the last 5 minutes.
What I was saying is that, you know, we could play. If they can answer this package, I think it most likely would see Mayweather stopping Pacquiao. Him, you know, baiting Pacquiao to come in, you know, with, you know, sloppy, wild, reckless, and just set him up with the right hand. And really tearing him down like that and beating him up. The scenario, I know I said, I kept seeing quantity versus quality. That's the theme I kept seeing when I was, you know, writing this preview. And, you know, Mayweather throwing two or three sharp punches, but Pacquiao throwing 6 or 7. And Pacquiao's not going to try to rough him up like Maidana did, or like De La Hoya did, who basically smothered himself, or like Hatton did and tried to maul him there. He's not going to do that. I think what he's going to do is, he's going to try to set his distance, step over to his right, the way that Mayweather's thrown right, and then, you know, fire a left hand, maybe double a left hand, try to get his hooks in there. I can see maybe he throws 7 punches, maybe 1 landing. But the fact of the matter is, there's still going to be 7 or so punches in his run.
We got a call?
Even though the connect rate might not be high, maybe you get a judge on the one side of the ring, and he sees Mayweather slipping away, or he sees Mayweather, you know, trying to pull away, and he's 7 punches. He's like, oh, shit, did he get hit with 5 of them? You know, he got hit with 1 of them, but you can't tell.
Right.
And that could score for Pacquiao. That's what I keep seeing in my mind. Like, what Tom was saying, you know, is there a chance to sneeze stuff? Anytime Mayweather fights, there's a chance of a sneeze stuff. You know, if he really just gets on his defensive game and, you know, turns the fight into, you know, an uneventful, you know, affair. Fully possible. Do I think it'll be a bloodfest? Absolutely not. Mayweather won't allow that, but I think he's aged just enough. Kind of like I said, with Roy Jones against Antonio Tarver, that he's not unhittable.
Right.
You know, Paul Jones had a great chin for the first 15 or so years of his career. He's nobody ever hit him. And then finally, when he just lost that step and was able to get hit, he said that he didn't have a good chin. Could we see a situation like that? Absolutely. Do I think it'll happen? No. What I think is going to happen is quantity versus quality, and then it's going to go to the judge's hand, and the judges are going to turn around and they're going to say, you know, he's winner by split decision to any Pacquiao.
Right.
And what will happen there? And Tom made a great point. If Mayweather dominates, no reason for a rematch. If Pacquiao dominates, I think he would still see a rematch. Unless it was like a Pacquiao De La Hoya play where it was just like an obliteration.
Like that picture, Tony?
What?
Like that picture I sent you of all the guys after Pacquiao fought him and all the guys after.
Yeah. It was like, you know, some guys, you see Cotto on there busted up, Margarito busted up, you know, De La Hoya busted up. But you're right, you're exactly right. And if it's an obliteration like Pacquiao De La Hoya, no, you won't see a rematch. If it's a fight like Mayweather Hatton, or even like Mayweather Alvarez, which is not an exciting fight, you don't see a rematch. Those are clear victories. If it's on the lines of Mayweather De La Hoya or Mayweather Maidana, which are both pretty close, or Mayweather Castillo, or Pacquiao Marquez, Jesus Christ, the last 4 times.
Right. Okay. Tony, hold on. I think we have a caller. That's Tom. That's calling a different number. Hello?
Hello. Hello.
Hey, you're on the air. Who do we got here?
Hi. This is Pat McAllega.
Hey. Long time no hear from.
How are you guys?
Great.
How are you guys?
How you
good.
Doing?
Really good. Really Come looking
on,
forward to this fight.
Awesome. We have a new guy on here, Pat. Tom, I'm sure you like him. We call him Psychic Tom Padgett.
Back at it here. Okay.
Go ahead, Pat. Tell us your thoughts on this.
Well, I think that either man can win. You know, and that's what makes this exciting going in. A strong case can be made for either one of them. They're both great fighters. For Pacquiao to win, he has to make it 12 fights, not one, every round. He's got to try to win at least 6 of them. And he's got to do that by setting a fast pace, throwing a lot of punches, obviously. And included in that is to always throw the last punch or two in a combination. He's got to kind of steal rounds the way Ray Leonard did against Marvin Hagler, by especially trying to light him up in the last 30 seconds of a round. It impresses Vegas judges. It always has. And Floyd, typically, if people have noticed, for the last 10 seconds of almost every round anymore, he just coasts. He doesn't throw a single punch. But I think Floyd is going to look to have a different fight than people are anticipating. And I get some of this from talking with Chap Chap Corley, who, of course, had been hired on as a sparring partner even before the fight was announced. And he said, and I'm quoting, Floyd is going to knock the shit out of him. You've probably seen on the film clips on the heavy bag, Floyd is putting a lot of concentration on lifting uppercuts to the body. And, of course, Manny's first two knockout losses were by body punches. It's a real good investment for Floyd to make. I think what's going to happen is the first six rounds, it'll be pretty even. I wouldn't be surprised to see either guy get knocked down, not hurt, but knocked down. In particular, Mayweather, if he throws a lead right hand, is habitually going off balance, bouncing away to his right, ducking down. And he is vulnerable to somebody as fast and accurate as Pacquiao. But I think after about six rounds, he's going to start using... He really is quite a bit bigger when you look at the two of them. He's very strong. He's not a one-punch knockout puncher, but he hits pretty hard. There's a reason why Canelo didn't try to use his weight and push him around. He was getting stung. And I think Floyd will wear him down, and by around the ninth round, start pushing him backwards and punish him and win a fairly clear decision. I wouldn't be shocked to see a TKO, but I think most likely will be decision. And that's what I expect to see. But again, with those two, anything could happen. Pacquiao could win eight rounds.
Well, Pacquiao does have a bad habit of leading with his head when he gets active, too.
Yeah, he does.
But Floyd's father here. Now, Floyd is starting to say a lot of things about his father, giving his father a lot of credit all of a sudden when they've had a rocky relationship. He said during the Inside Mayweather-Pacquiao show there, when he's hitting the wood, you know, this is how my dad started me, you know, with a sledgehammer first in the fire and then with the axe. And this is what I'm going back to. And they had the ESPN special on the other night, and they had Roy Jones Jr. and Bernard Hopkins talking about this, Stephen A. was on there. And he actually went to the house and saw Mayweather doing this workout and asked him, why? Why are you doing this? Why are you going back to the beginning? And he kind of dodged the question, but he went right back to his father again. And that's a very good thing, because his dad knows how good he was at the beginning, and his dad knows how good he is now. So I think he's bringing the best out. As much as you want to say bad things about his dad's attitude, he does know boxing.
He does, and he knows his son. And for much of his career, Floyd did not lose a round, with one or two fights, you know, being exception. Also, when you look at chopping wood, which I love that type of old school workout, you're getting it where you're twisting. And if Floyd is able to turn over punches, just coming slightly down on Manny around his brows, he'll cut him up. And if he cuts Pacquiao, it will help determine the outcome. Then it becomes much more likely there will be a TKO, not so much on cuts, but Manny does get reckless. Manny also, for as awesome as he is, and he's just marvelous, he does start to set patterns, and you never want to set a pattern of how you come in and move away from Floyd Mayweather. That's where you get hurt.
Right.
And I I think Floyd has gone a lot for the strength and to be able to lift up body punches and bring down the hammer when he goes to the head. I think the Chapman Wood was very impressive. And again, just the things that Chop Chop Corley has said make me think Floyd really does want to stop this guy.
And actually, it kind of makes me think of when he fought Shane Mosley, because, like I said, with his dad, right before that fight, it seemed like his dad whispered something into his ear. And the game plan tonight that he whispered was aggressive. And that has been the most aggressive fight I have seen him in a long, long time. He just seemed different. And it was something that his dad said to him that set the tone for that right off the bat. And I think that was a real turning point for their relationship, because they just kind of started to get back to working together. And then, you know, they just brought the best out of him again, and they realized that, you know, Roger has to take a back seat again. We need to be on point here together. And then the fact that they're
I agree.
Is tremendous, too. The sign there says to me that the father is saying, look, I don't want to train any other fighter. This is the best experience I've ever had in my life training my son. And, you know, we're going to do bigger and better things after this together, probably. So that's a good point.
I agree. And no disrespect to Uncle Roger. He's a very talented trainer. He's not as good on defense as Dad is. And for Floyd, as you say with Mosley, he can be aggressive but still be just unreal, hard to hit. And, you know, Mosley did hit him twice good, but not consecutive punches. And that's what Pacquiao has to land to really upset him, would be consecutive punches.
Floyd never took a step back, it seems. Never. Kept putting him right down. And that's what you have to do with that at Pacquiao, especially when he's out there throwing two hands at once and leaving his chin wide open.
Yeah.
Well, and also we can look at Floyd's aggression with Diego Corrales and Arturo Gatti.
Two beautiful examples.
Yeah, I mean, he was out there. And by the way, this has been a great analysis you've had. I mean, it was well thought out, really.
Thank you.
Congratulate you on that. But, if we see that Floyd show up, I would agree. And Tony also had predicted that if there is a stoppage, it's probably going to be Mayweather doing the stopping. And it's not like it can't happen.
That's true. You know, Pacquiao has taken a lot more punishment through his career. One thing people have to admire about Floyd, even if people can't stand his personality and find his style boring, which I don't, I love it, he does not take punches very often. And the other thing about Manny that I would advise people to keep their eye on is he doesn't change what in boxing you call planes. Angelo Dundee used to call it a plane. And it's what level you have your head at, your chin specifically. He doesn't go up and down a lot. I mean, there's a little bit of bounce to him. But his chin is always at the same level. And when you look at pictures of those two champions standing next to each other, he is at Floyd's shoulder level, his chin. Not a good place to be. And to keep it there, and especially not to come in with that wide open. Floyd obviously is up and down, he with the shoulder roll and all that. He's not easy to hit. Manny is becoming relatively easy to hit.
Well, Pat, let me ask you: did you get a chance? I heard something on Facebook on Monday. The article that I wrote on it.
No, I'm sorry. Can you say that again?
I posted it on Monday. Did you see the preview article that I wrote on the fight, breaking down everything?
Yes, I did. I did. I enjoyed it very much.
I was saying, even before you called in, the prevailing factor that I keep seeing in this fight is exactly what you were just saying a minute ago. Floyd is the sharper puncher. And the odds, you can't tell, if Floyd lost anything from those Maidana fights or if it was the first place, you know, just taking the guy lightly.
Yeah.
And then the second place, you know, just neutralizing him, him looking unimpressive and doing it because using your skills to keep a stronger but very aggressive fighter at bay. So kind of hard to say what if anything has to do. You know, I thought he was, you know, fantastic in neutralizing Alvarez a couple years ago. But now you go into this place here, and you're like, okay, just, you know, if Mayweather gets old fast, he gets old overnight, just like Will Jones did, you know, put that, you know, in the fight. Absolutely. But I keep saying it, because why don't he get the opportunity to Pacquiao walking in with his right hand? So Pacquiao will win this fight, I think. My thing is, just like you said, you got to win one round at a time, and you got to win more than six rounds.
Yeah.
And I also, I think this could be an early knockdown, maybe because they get their feet tangled up, and I kind of saw Pacquiao going down in this, walking with your right hand, feet get tangled up, he goes down, he puts some more knockdowns and knockdowns.
Yeah.
You know, they asked, Al Bernstein said, they get an advantage to Mayweather just being able to direct things, he breaks up points he can. Against Maidana, maybe, yes, he wants to get inside and maul and brawl. Against Pacquiao, no. Because Pacquiao's the less physical guy here. He doesn't want to be in a clinch. He takes up a clinch fast, he actually benefits Pacquiao because he let him get his momentum back. Well, he doesn't have momentum in a clinch. So when Maidana did. Now, if Pacquiao's able to throw them six, seven punch volleys, even if one or two of them land, and his back is huge. You can't really see it to the other side of the ring. And you got guys like Dave Moretti and Bert Clemens. They're sitting there and they're like, well, I see Pacquiao's arms are moving. And maybe with his head pulling away, is he landing those punches? I can't tell.
You've got a perception. Yep.
Yep. And like I said, I have a feeling, and like I said, the thing that keeps coming in my gut is, if Mayweather wins this fight, whether it's close or not, I mean, if he walks away with this, the story goes. If he walks away and wipes his hands and says, I did what you wanted me to do. If it's close, he can still say, I did what you wanted me to do. People can doubt him. He can say, I did what you wanted me to do. If Pacquiao wins, unless Pacquiao obliterates him like he did De La Hoya, I think he's going to a situation where Mayweather goes, bullshit, I want a rematch. And the people say, you know what, yeah, you're right. I want to see a rematch. Mayweather won that fight. Pacquiao didn't win that fight. They got to fight again. And Mayweather, if he loses, he's no longer the best ever. He's not even the best of his generation. So he's going to want that rematch to win, and then win, and then get a trilogy to prove, if I am the best of my generation, he got me on a bad night. And that's the one thing I just keep saying. One time the money, or three times the money.
yeah. Now, one thing about clinches is from the sixth round on, if they do clinch, look for Floyd to walk Pacquiao backwards because he's going to do everything he can to physically tire him. And anytime you have a guy who is even a little bit taller, if in a clinch you walk that guy back, you tire him out. You tire them out more than people pushing down on your back when you're, you know, bent over. Pacquiao, he is not obviously as good as he had been. He's still dangerous. I just wouldn't be surprised to see him build up a lead, but I think that as Floyd does start to get the lead, I do think that Pacquiao is going to be almost like a Ricky Hatton. He's not going to be content to go the decision. He's going to roll the dice. He's going to do whatever he can to try to win. And that's where I could see him getting TKO'd. Or literally knocked out, actually.
Let's also talk about what they're projected to make for this
fight, too. Yeah, right? 120 least pay for Pacquiao?
Yeah.
80 pay with it?
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good. That's me. I take 10%.
When I was writing it the other day, when I was writing the article, they were projecting $180 million to $120 million. I heard now Mayweather might make in excess of $200 million, which blows all of my figures out of the water. But even for $180 million, if he gets that amount, which is projected, and I wrote my article when I was just mentioning the size of this fight, and I was like, dang, you know, Mayweather's looking at making $15 million a round, $5 a minute, and $83,333 a second. A second. Pacquiao is making a measly $65,555 a second as a clip of 3.3 million a minute and 10 million around.
And let's just say, mention this, Tony. You and I were on the conference call the other day with Floyd Mayweather. Probably the first time that's happened in 10 years, I feel like. We had that opportunity because it was 6 at night Eastern. So Tony and I were both to get to have questions in, and that happens, but some idiot asked the question, two dumb questions in a row, believe it or not. Do you ever really feel about losing all your money, you know, and not having enough? And then the next question is, with all your gambling and stuff, you don't worry about that? Like, you know, come on, the guy's just...
You know, here are my favorite questions. One guy gets on there, and he's like, excuse me, Floyd, I don't need to speak to the professionals, you know, to save me. Great to talk to you, Floyd. May I ask you a question? Man is really religious. Are you afraid that God's on his side?
Yeah.
You know, there's the old saying.
And then God says, I'm religious. We're all God's children. You know, I'm not sure he's interested in who wins this fight, you know? But the other one that I love was the British guy. He's like, well, yeah, Floyd, you know, we've got to put on here. And any chance that you played him here at Khan in September? He's like, I think I got to get through this fight first. You know, we'll see how that plays out. And that's what it looks last week. Gunnar, which is, you know, a New England guy and a Patriots guy, just won the Super Bowl. I said, like, that's like asking, like, the Patriots getting ready for the Super Bowl. Yeah, you're playing Seattle, a defending champion. This is the best game in the world, the biggest game in the world. Any chance to play Jacksonville next week? No, let's see this one first. And it's then the Philippines.
Well, there's the old saying that the only stupid question is the one that remains unasked. But as with any rule, there are exceptions. And it sounds like a few people came up with them.
Yeah.
You know, and the amount that people are spending or making on this fight, I was saying to a friend of mine today, what I find interesting is for pay-per-view, I'm paying the exact amount that I paid for a ringside ticket to the second Fraser Ali fight. And that, to me, puts it in a kind of a interesting perspective.
Right.
You know what I did say? And I said this as soon as the fight, you know, got announced, and then they were talking about the tickets and how much the tickets were going to be. I said, yeah, this is huge. This is huge. I mean, you figure it's like $1,500 for the cheap seats and like whatever for the ringside, astronomical amount. Yeah, it's huge. I give you that. But until the day that somebody on the level of Frank Sinatra is trying to get into an arena, and they said, yeah, the only way you can get in is here's the camera, stand ringside and take pictures. It's the only way you're going to get into this arena. And it's the obvious reason you want to play defensively.
Yeah.
Then you know it's taking a huge level.
Well, it's interesting because, in a way, it's not a super fight with the passions that, let's say, a Fraser Ali one had. It, if anything, it's closer to a Jack Johnson, Jim Jeffries, because one fighter is despised, and a lot of people are putting their hopes on the other fighter to wipe that smile off his face. If Mayweather wins, a lot of people are going to be disappointed. You know, because a lot of people buy pay-per-view with Floyd to watch him get beat.
He got beat in the last question, too. Funny, I brought that up the conference call with Filipino before the last one to get questioned in. Of course, anybody else got two if they were lucky. This lady got three. And she was the last question. The last question. And One thing that struck me, I don't really remember all the questions he asked, but one thing that definitely struck me about Floyd's tone in that interview, he seemed more subdued than I've ever heard him on one of those. I've been on a few of them, and I've never asked a question there on the call, but when I was at one of his workouts, right before he started hitting the net, I asked him what he loved most about boxing, and he just said, everything.
He seems across the board to be in a different mental frame than I remember seeing him. You know what I mean? And obviously I see him on TV or, you know, the internet, not in person, with one exception. But he just seems subdued. Very good description of it. Focused, too. Very focused.
He's not worried about this. He keeps saying it's just another fight. You know, whether that's too mellow to be going into this. That's the thing I worry about, because it seems like a very short window to be taking on the greatest fight of your life between his last fight. These two guys are on a fast pace, fighting as much as they can late in their careers. And for them to have a quick bang at it, that's why I'm thinking this is a two-fight deal. I mean, I'm thinking that this goes to a draw. That's what I'm thinking. It's an automatic draw, majority decision draw. I really think they'll make that happen. And it's going to be close. It's guaranteed to be close. It goes to decision. So they can pull it off.
And a draw could happen?
A draw, and then Mayweather have the O go away, and he has to have that second fight.
I had wondered why he took Pacquiao in May, because when he fights twice a year, he performs much better in September. And not only, you know, fighting Madonna the second time, which he made the adjustments, but just overall, September is a better month for him. I don't know specifically why, but his fights in September, he looks sharper all around. So I don't know. I would not be surprised, but I do think he's going to win, and that I think that if he wins, there's not going to be. Manny might want the rematch. You know, he's a warrior. That's I would expect that, but I don't know if the promoters or public would think they could sell it, depending on how it ends, of course.
You know, that's a very good point, Pat. We were talking about that earlier, and I'm in your camp on that one. That if Floyd wins, especially if he runs away with it, and really has a fairly lopsided decision or even a stoppage, I just don't see how the fight should be promoted that, well, Manny had a sore hand or something. I mean, to me, both guys are in great shape. Both guys say they're ready for it. Both guys say they're bringing their best. And if it's a domination, I just don't see the rematch. I mean, I've been wrong before. This is boxing.
Yeah,
and so anything can happen, but I agree with you.
I think
domination either way, I don't see a rematch, not at all.
Yeah. If it's a fight where, even if it's not a knockout, but Floyd has that amused look on his face, which he often has with an opponent that he's just that superior to, then people aren't going to want to watch a rematch. I mean, Mayweather fans might, but Pacquiao people are not going to be pressing for one. But one thing, you know, again, Manny isn't going to go quietly. You know, he's going to put up a hell of a fight.
Yep, that's true. He's going to probably press Floyd way more than Maidana. And I think Maidana's biggest mistake, I've said it a million times, he came in with his head down and was not looking at the target. He was not defending himself when he needed to. And he just wanted to bull in there. And Pacquiao's going to do that, but it's a matter of not having enough power with him to make it work against Floyd. And we always say it. Tony and I say it a million times when it comes to thinking of strategies of how you could beat Floyd. You probably should just take that shot right at his shoulder. Just punch the crap out of his shoulder the first three rounds.
Oh, yeah.
Only hit his face. Hit his shoulder so he can't block his face. Then hit his face.
Yep. You know, hit a man on the bicep, you'll wear him down. Now, the first Madonna fight, in my opinion, was similar to when Ali, on his return, although Floyd wasn't, you know, coming off a layoff, when he fought Oscar Bonavina, sometimes, and I can say this from personal experience, you fight a guy who does almost literally everything wrong, and it just is frustrating. They could be hard to hit. I don't think that Pacquiao presents that same recklessness and with the same strength and awkwardness, rather, not recklessness. And I think that he's easier to hit and keep at bay than Madonna was for Floyd. I think that Floyd thought he would be able to wear him down and stop him after about 8-9 rounds, and he found out the guy took a hell of a shot and landed a lot of shots, too.
Exactly. I mean, I'm old enough to remember that one myself, and I don't think we've ever seen another guy since then in the mold of Oscar Bonavena. He was truly a unique individual in and out of the ring.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's funny when you think Jimmy Ellis cleaned him up in the tournament. You know, decked him twice.
Right.
Just
right now, yeah, that shocked me too. I remember that. So he was so streaky at times, and then
right.
losing a decision to Floyd Patterson. What was up with that?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You just never knew that. That added to his mystique in some ways, because
yeah.
you remember going back to '66. Sounds like you're an old school guy like I am, and then he was the first guy to put down Joe Frazier, almost stopped Joe.
Right.
I remember, right? He put him down twice in the first and second
twice.
Round.
Yep.
Two times in one round, Joe was definitely on Burr Street and held it together and won the decision. But with Oscar or Ringo, as his nickname was, you just
yep.
never knew what you were going to get. Just
no.
Amazing.
The tougher the opposition, the better he did. Even his second fight with Frazier, you know, that went the full 15, those two were toe-to-toe. That was an ugly, brutal fight. And not many people other than Smoke and Joe would have been able to survive against that Oscar. You know, he was a tough man. And
now,
Madonna...
Or the other way around, too. How many guys could survive against Smoke and Joe going toe-to-toe? Even George Shavala, the best chin I've seen in all my years of this, even he couldn't last the distance against Joe.
No.
Okay, here's a big question. I got a buddy of mine
okay.
who had a bunch of boxing memorabilia that he got out of a storage unit, including Pacquiao and Mayweather signed gloves and Pacquiao fight worn shirt signed. Will they be worth more money now before the fight or after this fight?
Wow, that is a good question. You know, depending, whoever wins, their memorabilia is going to be worth a lot more.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
So we should have sold some Manny Pacquiao stuff. Is that what?
That's what I'd have done. I fought one time, and the referee was Dave Ziglowich. And during referee's instructions, he said, Hey guys, I'm Dave Ziglowich. You might remember me. I lost a hometown decision to Joe Frazier. And I couldn't stop laughing. It was midway through the first round before I could quit laughing.
What a sense of humor. Oh, what a sense of humor.
Well, I guess he would, after what happened to him, you guys probably remember he got knocked and he did like half a loop of a spin in midair from one of Frazier's hooks.
Yeah, that was pretty ugly. Pretty ugly, for sure.
So when is your next show? Are you doing one right after the fight or what?
Okay, we've got three rounds of a boxing match left to discuss. That's it. And then it's on to next week. So my prediction on the Mayweather is a draw. You know that.
I'm going with a controversial
neutral Pacquiao decision, which I think Mayweather does enough to win, but Pacquiao gets it, and setting up the rematch in Kyrgyz.
And Tom's going to have to start doing a method push-up, I think, because I think he might be right if I'm not. We can get him back on. We'll see. Here we go.
Like a decent decision from these arthritic knuckles, but I'll sure as hell try.
I don't like Michael push-ups myself. I don't think it's a good idea to say this, but... It's good enough for Bruce Lee. I can do it.
You're right.
Bruce Lee. It was Scott Rogan that was killed in the motorcycle crash, not Martin Rogan. Martin Rogan's a boxer, I think. So, yeah, keep in mind. Scott Rogan. He was from... Actually, he was in the United Arab Emirates, so the UFC partly owned. He's fighting here. I don't know if the crash happened there. But, so the big fight, and our former guest is on the undercard. Saeed Al-Harak will be on the undercard there. And I don't know off the top of my head who he's fighting, but I thought it was interesting that when I asked him what he loved most about boxing, he gave me the same answer that Phil Mayweather did. Told him about it. He was thrilled to hear that. So, we're going to be pulling for him, of course.
He's going to battle undefeated, but he's a heavy favorite in this fight. He's, like a 13-1 favorite or something like that. I was telling you that if he had a bet 1,300 on Jesse, he'd have hit 100. So, if you are a good fighter in Philadelphia, keep the middleweight, battle undefeated, then his O is not going to go. He's going to stay undefeated. He's going to I'm predicting just a short knockout, maybe on the seventh round.
All righty. Who else is on this card that you should mention? We got people.
Is he going to say the crew's on the card?
Yeah, I think so. I don't have it right in front of me. My computer's loading slow.
Let me see if I can log on and find out right now. And I'll see if you get out of the page channel and see if you get in the 4x4.
If we had time on it, would be better to discuss this with him. But while we're waiting, the whole thing with John Bones Jones means that Daniel Cormier and Rumble Johnson are going to fight. So. Going to be an interesting dynamic, you know, the guy who just went the distance with Jones, fighting Rumble, and, you know, a guy like Daniel Cormier is going to work really hard when he has a loss like that, so it's going to be interesting to see what he does with that, and see if he develops some more striking to deal with Rumble, but I don't really see anybody getting in Rumble's way right now, especially without John Jones in the picture. He is a striker that I would not even want to go near, even if it was just a boxing match. I probably wouldn't want to train with him. That's a tough motherfucker right there. He's grown a lot from when we interviewed him. But, but then... UFC 187 card though is Khabib Nurmagomedov is out. He's undefeated from Russia, from Dagestan area, supposed to fight Donald Cerrone. Big fight there. So he's out. So you know, John Jones was supposed to fight there, and now Nurmagomedov is out. I don't know why I can't bring up the Blog Talk Radio and Tom and everything. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe the Blog Talk Radio fired it all off, so we can only connect by phone. So our studio is not showing anything. It's not even showing us on air, but I know we're on air with Blog Talk Radio. So we didn't hang up on it. What happened there? And Aberdeen is where the mixed martial arts fighter died. I'm trying to pull that up now, too. That's in the UK. Australia or something. No, Watson. Okay. in the United States. Died after the fight. In this situation, it must have been a hemorrhage or something. I gotta get a new computer. Anyway, I'm thinking I got all this memorabilia. This guy says if I help him sell it, then I can keep part of the proceeds. So most of the trip would be funded if we could get the stuff sold really high, the Mayweather Pacquiao stuff. And I was thinking of contacting the people that are doing the Box Fan Expo and seeing if they'll do a raffle, official raffle with it. Then have some of the proceeds go to a good cause. Is that up our alley?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
Whoa.
All right, so we're running out of time. Did you find the schedule there for the other fights?
Yeah, it only says two undercard fights. It didn't say that Jesse that's going to be televised. Now, I don't know if it's right or not, but it has two televised undercard fights. One is Vasily Lomachenko, who's 3-1. He's looking like a title in a pro fight. And he is fighting Gamilier Rodriguez, 25-2. And then the other fight is Leo Santa Cruz, as I already said, and he's fighting, once again, a guy I haven't really heard of. What the hell is the guy's name again? It's Tiento? Tiento? Give me a first name. Jesus Christ. wow. So I can't find the first name on this guy. It's Tiento. Mexico is Tiento. Well, he's from Mexico, obviously. Jose Tiento, 17-3. So, once again, not really that impressive, but hopefully this year the Justin Hart fight, because he's done him and he's pissed off.
Warning.
They said it's going to be controversial, and you got a trilogy coming up. That's the tornadoes take.
And Mayweather's going to lose Lynn and all that. And Pacquiao's going to draw.
I'm just hoping for a good fight. And on those lines, the tornado is out. Oscar released the baby. It's gone about here, so I'll stay for him. Enjoy the fight and enjoy this huge event.
Yes, sir. Adios, folks. Stand by.
And then we'll break it down next week.
And we'll get that quote from Patrick next week, I suppose. We'll have to call
any. All right, guys. Sounds good.
That's funny.
He runs about 2 feet about the name Karen Freddie Gray, Nate H. Stop. And he didn't know about the stop discovered on surveillance camera and not logged by police. Also, one of the sources are telling us from the WJLA that Gray's death was caused by an injury he suffered when he slammed into the back of the knee face. A lot more of this story right here in Baltimore and around the country. We're keeping an eye on it for your protest.